Amen. So today is, hey Pastor, I've got a question Sunday, but it's also Mission Sunday. What happens, fill in the blank, what happens? How is the, hey Pastor, I've got a question series, what does that have to do with missions? Well, they are related, and we're going to take a look to see how. We'll be in the book of Acts, so turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's usually one under the seat in front of you or underneath you. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. If you're getting to know your way around the Word, it's all the Acts of the Holy Spirit and the Apostles. After Jesus came, lived, died, and went back to be with the Father. But the beginning of it is Jesus leaving this earth. It starts off at the beginning of the chapter. The writer, which is likely Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, said, in my former book, Theophilus, that's who he's writing this to, he's writing an account of everything that happened. And the name of the person is Theophilus. He says, I wrote all about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He, meaning Jesus, appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Paul talks about that he also appeared to 500 people all at once, and most of them were still alive. So if they were writing these books, there was plenty of people that could either confirm that it was real or confirm that it was a fake. And everybody confirmed that it was real. There's really no historical writings that point back to the person of Jesus and say, he was really just a fake. All of the writings that speak about him in the reality of his life, death, and resurrection. So history supports this wonderful story. And before he ascended to the Father, how many people know that when people are speaking the last words of their life, they're usually important words, aren't they? You're like, I need you to know this because I'm not going to be here much longer. And this is the word; these are the words that Jesus spoke. So before he ascended to the Father, this is what he said. Let's stand together and we will read our verses. Bless you. To a musical interlude. Let's read. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for this gift, this Holy Spirit that you gave us. You didn't leave us as orphans. You didn't come and go and leave us to figure this out. You left us with a comforter, a counselor, someone that would guide us into truth, someone that would empower us to do the work that you left us here to do. So thank you, God, for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you for your kindness towards this world and this race of people that we belong to. Bless us as we dig into your word and spend time on our focus on missions and the missionaries that we support here at Warren Community. So thank you, Lord. Speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. So hey, Pastor, what's the Bible say about and missions have to do with each other? I got a lot of different people said, I'd like to preach about this. For those that don't know, I put out a couple of weeks. I said, if you have things you want me to preach about, you tell me, and I'll do my best to preach a sermon and touch base on most all of what people are asking. So all the things that people were asking about, what do they have to do with missions? A lot of people wanted to know, thank you for all you people that asked about end times, the rapture and tribulation. It'll make me have to dig into all my old studies about that. I haven't really been studying on the end times in quite a while. But what does missions have to do with the end times and Jesus' second coming? That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, we need to be on mission, don't we? Because Jesus is going to come back, and there is going to be an end times and a tribulation. And there's a world of people that don't know the Savior that will be with them, either to snatch them out of it or take them through it. People ask, well, how can I pray? Teach me how to pray. What does that have to do with missions? All right. So if we don't pray, missions, that's not going to happen. And you know what also? Not only do we need to pray in order to fulfill the mission of God, but there's a whole world of people that doesn't know how to spend time with God. They don't know how to pray. They don't even know the God with which they want to pray to. Yeah, they how do I hear God's voice was another one. How do I hear the voice of God? How do I know it's God's voice and not my voice? The scriptures say, how will they hear unless someone tells them? How will someone tell them unless they go? Somebody has to go to tell people, or else there's a whole world of people that are not going to even know there's a voice of God to hear from. A couple weeks ago, I preached about the transformed heart. Do you feel like there's a world of people that needs to have their hearts transformed and healed? And we live in a broken world, don't we? How will they know that there is transformation for their hearts if we don't go and tell them, right? So this verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, right where they were at the moment, Judea and Samaria, those were the lands surrounding Jerusalem. And then to the ends of the earth, he says, you will be my witnesses right where you are and wherever God, my Father God, sends you. People had questions about fear, about worry, about suffering, about heaven and hell. We need answers to these things. So does the whole world. And the world's got lots of answers. Are they all right? We all think we got the right answer. And then 5, 10, 20, 50 years down the road, we find out, I guess we weren't right. just some simple examples. Are eggs good for you? Now they are. The last 40 years they've been telling you, no, eggs are bad for you. Don't eat eggs. Red meat, is it bad for you? Now they're saying it's fine For years they said, no, you can't eat red meat. You know what? The world's got lots of answers, and oftentimes they're wrong. God's word is always right and true, and we can trust in it. But the world needs to know those answers too. And they will only when we walk in the power of the Spirit of God and we fulfill the ministry that God has called us to. And that's to go and share the love of Christ, the good news of Jesus, to the whole world. If we don't tell them, who will? The Spirit of God indwells His church. That's a wonderful blessing, but it's also a great responsibility, because if we don't go, there's no plan B, as we've said. We are the only plan to go and bring the love of God to a world that needs to know about Him. So some of you will go to your family, to your neighbors, you'll go to your coworkers, people you go to school with, and you'll be witnesses to them, because when Jesus said, you will receive power and be my witnesses, was He just speaking to those 11 apostles? The calling was for all of us. It was for all of us. So we're to go and be His witnesses, but others are going to go to China or to Africa, or they'll go to foreign students on campuses around our nation. And missions, not only are we supposed to be missional in our communities, but we're supposed to be missional, to the Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth, right? And that's why we're a part of, anybody know what denomination we're a part of? Missionary Church. That's the denomination that we proudly belong to. We focus on bringing the good news of Jesus to people in our community and to the uttermost parts of the world, which is what Jesus called us to. And we support three missionary families here, the Spences, the Yoders, and the Bergstallers. And they are the people that we support. We send them an amount of money and our prayers every month. We pray for them and we support them financially. So here's our first family, Jeff and Shauna Spence. They've been on the mission field. You know, I'm not sure how long they've been on, but some of their kids were born on the mission field. Some of them they took with them. So this is somebody who takes the call of the command of the Great Commission pretty seriously, right? Did God really call us to missions to go? And they started off in Mongolia. Well, if He did, all right, Lord, we're going to have to trust You. Pick up the kids, and off they went to Mongolia. God is in the last, they came here last year. Remember the Spences came? And they felt the Lord calling them to a ministry in China and Taiwan. So that's where they are now. And that's their family, Michaela and Ava and Alyssa and little Jeffrey. And a beautiful family, wonderful. Really enjoyed having them with us last year. So just some updates I'll read from their letters. They're all doing well in school. Yep, they do same stuff that you guys do, only in Taiwan. Soccer starts in March and they are all excited to start. Alyssa, the littlest one, is continuing at a Taiwanese preschool and making new friends all the time. So they're busy doing life in Taiwan, right? They were, like I said, making disciples and starting churches and disciple-making ministries in Mongolia. But the Lord called them last year to serve in Taiwan and China. And their calling is to start and train people to learn how to make disciples of the people that they live with. His job is not to go and make as many disciples as he can. His job is to go and train people so that they can go and make disciples in their own community, just like we're supposed to do that in our own community. We wouldn't expect somebody from Taiwan to come to Warren and start trying to win people for Jesus. These are our people. This is our community. We're called to reach them. So, but that's what they do. Some things that they've got going on. Now there's, yep, where they are in Taiwan. In fact, my daughter Hannah taught English to the children in outside of Taichung, not too far outside of Taichung. So she wasn't very far from where they are right now. All right, next. This is a training seminar for international discipleship that Jeff was a part of. It's a two-day training. Members from their church, they're a part of a church fellowship that they serve and worship together with. They've got to have a church family just like we got to have a church family, right? And so they looked at an international discipleship small group church strategy. It looks promising, and Jeff is looking forward to working with Pastor Peter, that's his pastor at the church where they attend, on how we will implement it in our church. It was, of course, all in Chinese, so Jeff caught about 10% of it. Thankfully, the pastor's daughter was there to help translate. Jeff is learning Chinese, but it's quite a different language, so you don't just pick it up in a year, right? He's continuing his Chinese studies every day as well as preparing for several trips. He's starting to work more and more with the local church we are attending. March 2nd, we will be starting a 10-week English Bible study with college and career age groups. So his opportunity to teach English and begin to interact with some of the local Taiwanese people and share Christ with them. Now, Shauna is here with other ladies that are serving overseas, and they were gathering together here at an overseas a women's retreat. Shauna teaches part-time, I think, in the school where the youngest one goes, and says that we are thankful for the opportunities that have been available, but it's not consistent work. She cannot file for a work permit until she gets her permanent alien resident card. So it makes paying her difficult. So she's kind of in a weird place, apparently, being that she's part-time. Says we will need about $20,000 for all of the kids' tuition and Jeff's last year of studying Chinese. Shauna is planning to take two courses over the next 2 years so that she can get her teaching license updated. So they're working through some of these challenges of raising their children in a foreign country and them getting their education, their schooling, their own children. So these are things that they're working through. It says they're also starting a small group with youth in English and will be going over some of the teens that they're working, that Jeff's working with. They're going over the seven commands of Christ. And so basically, bless you, he's teaching them about to repent and believe, to be baptized. These are the commands of Christ. To pray, to go and make disciples, the command to love God and love our neighbor, and the Lord's Supper, and to remember the Lord's Supper, and the command to give as God has prospered you. And so these are some of the basics things of the Christian faith that he's teaching some of the teens there. And they look like they're pretty deep into it. Bibles are open. That's pretty cool. I love to see that. Spiritually, Taiwan is going through a cultural shift, they said, away from religious activities. In Taiwan, this is primarily a Buddhist and Taoist, but it is also felt in Christianity. As cultures develop, we are less connected to community and think that we are doing fine with our jobs and toys. Praise God that he is still relevant today like he was 2,000 years ago. We see his blessings in marriages, true friendships, purpose, and practical ideas like raising our kids and how to live at peace with those around us. According to statistics, Taiwan is somewhere around 3.5% evangelical Christian believers. However, as our religious activities are decreasing, it says, they said, I see the power of the gospel, which is able to bring true transformation. and changing the lives of people around us. Yeah, so God still, the basic things still transform lives. Amen? Amen. So be praying for the Spences and for their ministry that they have going on there. Our other couple here, one of our other families, is Stan and Valley, or Val Yoder. And they were serving to minister to the Muslim community here in the States, but primarily in the college area, college locations. And they are, they've moved recently, and are, still their mission, though, is to reach out to the foreign college-age communities for Christ. So they've recently moved. Now, you have to understand some of the background, and I think, I'm going to read you some update from their newsletter here. Val is paralyzed. She's in a wheelchair, and she's not able to move. So they still minister. They still serve this community. She still has a heart to reach people for Jesus. This is from the spring. It says, "Greetings from the cold Midwest. We are glad for our warm home here in Iowa, and we are thankful for all of you that have been praying and supporting us in this change of life. Because of your prayers and support, our budget ended 2018 in the black, and we have been off and running again, teaching and coaching others how to disciple Muslim people. In January, we taught prospective classes in Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa. Two topics taught were the living God is a missionary God and the kingdom of God to over 250 students. So they're having a huge impact. In February, we have taught classes in Iowa and Missouri. So they do a lot of traveling. On unleashing the gospel to over 300 students. And in one location in Iowa, it was snowing hard, and by the time we reached the college campus, at least 4 inches of snow had come down. As Valley plowed through the snow for 50 yards in her wheelchair, the class coordinator was behind pushing, wish we had a video of it," they said. "From these classes, God is opening up new opportunities for coaching individuals and groups on how to share the gospel with their Muslim friends. This Sunday, we will be meeting with a group in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to start the coaching process for a small group. On March 29th and 30th, we'll be training ministry partners and international students in Kansas City for 2 hours on a Friday evening and 4 hours on Saturday. We appreciate your prayers for these two events. Along with groups, we have met with several individual disciples in person and via the internet." On a personal level, Valley has been experiencing up to 5 migraine headaches each week. "Not sure what is causing them yet, but pray for healing. She has medicine that helps, but would rather not have a painful headache wake her up from sleep in the middle of the night." Also, while our financial support ended in the black in 2018, thanks to some very generous one-time gifts, our support is now about $1,000 short each month to meet our budget. If you sense God leading you to support us monthly or with one-time gift, please send us a check to Tammy for the address below. We'll give you an opportunity to be able to get more information so that you can get their newsletter and keep up with what's going on. Oh, we've got some... did we miss one? I think back up. These are some of the families they've been ministering to. Cal Down and Amna now live in St. Cloud, Minnesota. He teaches at a community college, and she is a stay-at-home mom with 2 active girls. We visited them in St. Cloud and spent about 13 hours around their table eating great food, laughing together, and talking about Jesus. We just mailed them a box with several books to read. Pray that as they read these books, it will help them on their journey in knowing Jesus. So these are some of the things that they're just about interacting and being with people and helping them to grow in their faith and to learn to teach others to grow in their faith. This is Ray over here on the side here. He is from Syria. He has 2 very successful restaurants in Kansas City. before he retired and moved to Syria before the war. He lost all his possessions and fled back to Kansas City with his family. He's 75 years old, running a restaurant again, and just had open heart surgery. He is a dear friend. We stopped by to see him on our last trip to Kansas City and tell him we love him and we've been praying for him. I asked how he would define the kingdom of God, and he replied, God owns and rules over his creation. A good answer. Now he needs to understand and accept Jesus as the appointed king. Pray for him and his wife, Sarah. So these are some of the people that they are interacting with and ministering to. This last one, real quickly, they came to a community college, and just felt led to just pray. And so they just prayed. Didn't know what was going to happen. So a short time later, they taught a perspectives class in Cedar Rapids. God introduced us to somebody that had a connection with a whole bunch of international students at the college. And so they began to connect with them. They invited all these students over to their house to go on a hike through some wilderness area near where they were staying. And they were able to bring them in their basement and show them the next slide, their Why I Love Jesus wall. So it's just there on their wall, and when people come to visit, they get to answer the question, I love Jesus because of what he taught me about God. I love Jesus because of how he treated other people. And I love Jesus because of what he has shown me about himself, that he is the bread of life and the Messiah. So that's the family, the Yoders, that we are supporting, what they're doing. Our last family, the Bergstallers, Stephen and Gail, they have two children which are grown up. Micah, who I believe is still in college in South Africa. They serve in South Africa. And Carissa, who I believe came back to the States to go for nursing school, and I believe is a nurse here back in the States. So they're serving in South Africa. They felt a calling for God to help God, that God wanted to use them to help bridge racial gaps. There's still a lot of racial dysfunction and division in South Africa. Even though, you know, things have come a long way, there's still a lot of that there. And they felt God calling them to help to begin to bring people together. And so that's what their calling there is. This is Miss Olga, we heard about her, I think, last year. They were able to give her a bunch of Bibles, and now we know why. Here's some of the kids that have been attending meetings held in Miss Olga's home. How cool is that? Just how can I minister to the children of my community? It says, Miss Olga told Gail that the Old Testament is rarely taught in their churches. So for the last several months, during our weekly get-togethers, we have been surveying the Old Testament. It has been a great time of growth and understanding that the Old Testament books are wonderfully foundational to the New Testament. It is marvelous to see the Old Testament point to Jesus again and again. We talked about that a little bit. We'll talk about that more. Just a couple of weeks ago, Miss Olga said, thank you so much for starting me in Genesis and helping me to learn how the Bible comes together. Now she takes her increasing understanding and passes it on to the church which meets in her house. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Have you ever thought of being a church that meets in your house? Having a small group in your home that just gathers together to study the Word, and you invite people to come and spend time praying together, being encouraged in the Word. It's a powerful ministry, and I want you to pray about that. This is just not something they do overseas. This is the mission. This is our mission. And sometimes we can have classes in the church. Sometimes we can just say, hey, I'm having a study in my home. Would you be interested in coming? And we will help you to get started. There's lots of tools. If you feel inadequate, there's lots of tools that will help you and we'll come alongside you to help you to do that. Pray about that. God's word transforms hearts and lives. Amen? It transforms us. Oh, what's the next one? A pastor, a policeman, and an atheist all went to a barbecue. They said. I'm just reading their thing. Sounds like the beginning of a joke, doesn't it? In reality, it was the scenario at Stephen's 50th birthday celebration in late May. It was an unusual mix of people in more ways than one here in South Africa. We kept the festivities small and intimate, and we were happy to have these friends and their wives together to join us at home. Their families each mean a lot to us, and it is a privilege to witness and minister God's truth in their lives. Well, there's another picture of just gathering together as, you know, I feel like God is opening an opportunity for us to do that in my neighborhood. Waiting for the right time. We've got some new neighbors moving in. We've got some openness from some neighbors that have just, God's begun to open doors for our relationships. So trust in God for his timing. Then they had a second marriage enrichment class at Bethesda Church in the impoverished and crime-troubled township of Broadlands Park. And it said it went beautifully. Kept it much simpler this time and on point with the biblical study materials being used. It was amazing to observe couples opening up and even ministering effectively among the group. It was discipleship at work naturally. This grassroots discipleship, us building one another up in our faith. Says we were very uplifted up by the story of one husband, Patrick. He told the group that he had previously been drinking alcohol while also very ill, and he and his wife, Haiti, had been on the brink of divorce, apparently running to things other than God instead of running to God first. Where was I? However, they attended the initial marriage enrichment event back in February, and since then they have been working on their relationship with each other. He has now found hope in turning to Jesus. He's turning away from alcohol towards Christ, and they have been attending the Bethesda Church together. Haiti was tearful as Patrick described their progress. They are so grateful to God for his healing in their lives and their marriage. We are so grateful for their tender hearts towards Christ. Please continue to pray for us in this, for godly, strong marriage relationships, which are foundational to the well-being of these communities. How many know it's foundational to the well-being of this community? Marriages are at the heart of a healthy community and a healthy society. So we need it as much as they do. So those are some of the things that Stephen and Gail are doing in South Africa as they seek to be a ministry of reconciliation to that community. So those are the three families that we support. Brings us back to our verse, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. So, some of us will go to our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our schoolmates. Some of us have gone to China, South Africa, and to the foreign students on college campuses here in the States. Why? Because they need more teaching on morals? No, because they need Jesus. Because they need a new social group, a place to gather together? No, because they need the Messiah, the Savior that will set them free from the bondage of sin. Why did they go? Why do we go? Because we need new laws to tell us how to live. We need social justice police to tell us when we're doing it right and when we're doing it wrong. No, because they and we simply need Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the solution. He is the one that changes hearts. I can't do it. I can't say, I'm going to start doing this thing better, or I'm going to stop doing that thing. It doesn't work. My ability to change me, you will, if you haven't figured it out yet, you will. It will fail you. What we all need and what I needed was the indwelling Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus living in me that transforms and changes this broken and messed up and mixed up heart of mine. It's what I needed. It's what the world needed. And so that's why we go. That's why we're on a mission to our community. And that's why we're on a mission to support people who have been called to the uttermost parts of the world. Because we haven't all been called to China and Taiwan. We haven't all been called to Mongolia or South Africa. But we've all been called. And so when there are brothers and sisters that respond to the calling, we can go with them by helping them and supporting them. And that's what our faith promises are for. This was in your bulletin. If God hasn't called you to go to the uttermost parts of the world, then I want to challenge you and encourage you to support the ones who have been called to go to the uttermost parts, while we still go to our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, while we still go to our Warren and Hazel Park and Madison Heights and Troy. We'll support the ones who are going to the uttermost parts of the world. So I want to encourage you, whether you give a one-time gift, whether you say, I'm going to begin to give monthly to this. God's called us all to reach people around the world with for Jesus. Pray about what God would call you to give. And give. Be obedient. We're going to close with a song. I'll have our worship team come on up. Jesus at the center, because really, again, he is the center of it all. He is the answer to it all. And if you feel the Lord leading you to do this, I'm just going to, yeah, we'll do that. You just put what the Lord's leading you to put, and you bring it up as an offering to God and just lay it down and say, Lord, here's what I'm committing to you for missions for this year. And that will help us to support those families that that we're supporting as part of Warren Community Church. If you're wanting more information, like you'd like to get some of these newsletters either emailed or snail mailed to you, then write on the card or one of the connection cards and drop that in the box on the way out, the connection card box, and we'll get you on their email mailing list or on their snail mail mailing list. And you can get these either quarterly, or some of them are quarterly, some of them are monthly. I think most of them are quarterly. And they'll send you an update so you can be praying for them and staying in touch with what's happening with these families. And so just jot that in your contact, either a phone number or your email address, and we'll make sure we get you connected with the people that can put you on their mailing list. So let's stand together as we close with this song. We've been singing it, but it really is at the center of it all.